One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
always eating and drinking.
No! Not always.
You literally have coffee and a snack right now.
Okay, yes, but because you gave them to me.
Yeah.
You were like...
But you can strategically time your consumption.
Okay, but I didn't know... But you're looking at me.
I said...
So you looked
at me... ready? And you said, yup. And I started recording.
Scott, here's what really happened. Scott looked at me putting food in my mouth and was like, are you ready? And of course I'm not going to say no. And so I just said yes, and then he hit record.
Time is money.
Is it?
In podcasting.
Not our time.
Not our time.
Not our time.
Well, if you are interested in a snack, here's one for your ears. What's a song salad?
A song salad is a brief song that we write about a random topic.
A Brandon topic.
About a Brandon topic.
Our friend Brandon is the topic.
About a random topic in a random music genre for you.
And we use Wikipedia and Moodfuse, both great websites. Check them out. Donate to Wikipedia's campaign.
Yes.
And follow Moodfuse on Twitter.
Give them more than 16 followers. They're so super useful. We have tweeted at them and they have not responded.
I know. But seems to be a trend.
Yeah, there really is a trend.
I was just talking, we were talking yesterday about the Dumpster Fire song that we wrote about the fire squad in Quebec.
Yeah, and, the firefighters
in
Quebec.
We tweeted at them about, hey, we wrote a song about you guys. And they did not tweet back. Same thing with
Margaret Rinkle,
Maggie Rinks, and the insurance company.
Yeah.
Colonial Life. Well, maybe this week we'll get a topic that is
tweetable.
And we'll get some interaction going on.
Yeah. I would love a cease and desist letter. Really, that would just
bring
make
it
my,
at us.
That would make my 2017 as a cease and desist
bring it
letter.
On. Resolutions.
Yeah. Hashtag resolutions.
Get sued.
We will have a Utahn for you this episode.
We will.
We will do it a little bit later since it's a bit more of a substantial one.
Oof.
And
hearty Utahn.
Yes, indeed. Shiver your timbers and get ready.
I don't know how to actively shiver my timbers.
You can just do it mentally. Emotionally shiver your timbers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Should we get our genre?
Let's jump right in. Our salad spinner this week. Again, comes from Noobs.
Noobs.
Thanks, Noobs.
Thank you, Noobia.
And it is...
Chipmunks singing DuckTales.
Okay. Are you very familiar with the DuckTales song?
No. I remember the tune of it.
Okay.
And I remember one lyric.
Okay.
You want me to do it?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. DuckTales, woo! That's it.
That's not a lyric. That's the title.
It's the end of it.
The title doesn't count as a lyric.
No, but woo-hoo is a lyric. Okay.
What?
Anti-folk.
Anti-folk is a music genre that seeks to subvert the earnestness of politically charged 1960s folk music.
The defining characteristics of anti-folk are difficult to identify as they vary from one artist to the next.
Makes sense.
The music tends to be raw, post-something, or experimental. It generally mocks perceived seriousness and pretension in the established mainstream music scene.
Artists of the anti-folk genre seem to observe the rules of music, but then suddenly they deliberately break them.
I cannot wait to get an example of this.
Me too. Origin was the United States in the mid-1980s. Uh-uh. It was introduced by artists who were unable to obtain gigs at established folk venues in Greenwich Village in New York City, such as Folk City and the Speakeasy.
So it's bitterness born.
It's bitterness born.
Great.
Soon after, singer-songwriter Latch started The Fort, an after-hours club on the Lower East Side.
Obviously the Lower East Side.
The Fort's opening coincided with the New York Folk Festival, so Latch dubbed his event the New York Anti-Folk Festival. Other early proponents of the movement included the Washington Squares, Cindy Lee Berryhill, Brenda Kahn, Paleface, Beck. Oh, I know Beck.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Hamill on Trial, Michelle Schacht, Zane Campbell, and John S. Hall, Roger Manning, Kurt Kelly, Sandra Hicks, and
people.
Block. They were all early anti-folk artists.
The original fort was shut down in 1985. The club moved from location to location, including East Village Bars, Sophie's, and Chameleon, before winding up in the back room of the Sidewalk Cafe from 1993. The New York Anti-Folk Festival continues to be held annually at the Sidewalk Cafe.
Weird.
Long outstanding the original folk festival. Events have also taken place in Banshells and Tompkins Square Park and Central Park. While living in San Francisco for a few years in the 1990s, Latch helped establish a West Coast anti-folk movement at the Sacred Grounds Coffee House.
Cool.
That is cool.
So I am really interested to find examples. And I imagine that the music genres are going to vary a little bit from song to song, but the topics and lyrical content should be cool for you to try to emulate.
For sure. It's interesting to me that this came about in the 1980s as a reaction to the 1960s.
Yeah.
It seems like that's a bit of a...
bit of a jump.
Yeah. Or just like a really drawn out reaction.
Yeah. For an example, we're going to do a song by Latch, the guy that started it all. And you can find this song on Anti-Folk Volume 1, a compilation album of a bunch of anti-folk songs. So check that out. But this is a song called Drinking Beers with Mom by Latch. Maybe Lach? Like Bach?
Lach.
Lach. Drinking Beers with Mom.
Well, I got her some Camel Lights, and I got myself some Lucky Strikes. Yeah, tonight I'm hanging home sweet home. Yeah, tonight I'm drinking my beer with Mom. 'Cause I'm drinking beers with Mom, drinking beer with Mom, drinking beer with Mom. Everything is alright. We're gonna roll a tube on the coffee table.
We're getting loosey-goosey this week, folks.
We are. So we're trying to figure out what makes examples we're finding anti-folk versus just like indie rock or indie pop or folk.
Yeah.
Some examples of contemporary artists that we're finding are like Bright Eyes and Regina Spektor.
Neutral Milk Hotel.
Elliot Smith.
Yeah.
Beck.
Like Noah and the Whale.
Right. So, you know, at first impulse, I wouldn't say that's anti-folk, but...
Right. So here's... So I found a website called antifolk.com.
Useful.
And this is a little bit helpful, I guess. Anti-folk is a musical genre that promotes songwriting over technique and personality over polish. Some see it as the evolution of folk, others as a combination of punk and folk. Others believe the musical genre is so loose and difficult to define that in reality it is more of a scene.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And I guess when it says combination of punk and folk, what I think that means is folk style music with a punk philosophy.
Mm-hmm. It's just anti-establishment.
Right.
Anti what came before. Avant-garde, like trying something new, not being beholden to the rules of the genre.
Right.
This was a helpful quote, I thought, also by Jeff Lewis, who is one of the artists that comes up when you search for anti-folk. I think it's a cool title, he says. The fact that no one knows what it means, including me, makes it kind of mysterious and more interesting than saying you're a singer-songwriter or you play indie rock.
Okay.
So it seems like it's indie rock.
Sure.
Or indie pop. Anti-folk, this is by Filthy Pedro. Don't know who that is. Could just be a random internet troll. I don't know. Anti-folk is a rediscovery of folk ethics and a reaction against the rigid genre that folk became in the 60s.
Ah, that makes sense too.
Yeah. It's about using whatever you want to tell everyday stories, valuing humor over sorrow, storytelling over technique, and personality over polish.
Cool.
So there's that whole personality over polish, the You know how some actors, I feel like there are a certain breed of musical theater actors that are becoming increasingly rare, where they don't have the greatest technical voices, mm-hmm. but you could watch them all damn day because of right. the stage presence that they have.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like Mandy Patinkin, I'm thinking Douglas Hodge, I'm thinking Patti LuPone. Like,
right.
they're not like these brilliant technical, like Yumish singers, but...
They've got power and pizzazz.
Yes, exactly. So I'm thinking that it's more like, I want to tell this story and it doesn't matter that I'm not actually a singer. I'm going to sing anyway.
Because I'm thinking of like Simon and Garfunkel in the 60s where it was very clear, polished harmonies mm-hmm. and guitar parts and like very processed, very mastered
mm-hmm.
Recordings versus Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. And what's interesting about Regina Spektor is I'm a big fan of Regina Spektor, and she is an incredible musician, and she's really virtuosic. She uh-huh. plays piano really incredibly well and writes her own songs and mm-hmm. music. But when she sings, she has a beautiful voice, but she purposefully at times doesn't sing pretty.
She lets the inflection help tell the story.
Yes. And there are certain times when she's like croaking mm-hmm. and like making just like weird noises with her voice.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting.
That's part of what the original Wikipedia article we started reading says, where artists of the anti-folk genre seem to observe the rules of music, but then suddenly deliberately break mm-hmm. them. So she's singing along, it's beautiful, and then she croaks. And
yeah.
So she's breaking the rules as she's making the music.
I think Bright Eyes also does this really well. There are certain songs that Bright Eyes has where just like, at the end of it, it just kind of devolves into like, you're just listening to what was happening in the recording studio.
Yeah.
At the end, or like you hear like someone yeah. like walking away from the microphone.
Exactly.
And so it kind of breaks the wall of perfection. And like you were saying, that mastered,
right.
well put together quality
mm-hmm.
becomes a little bit more improvisational.
Yeah. You hear the seams, mm-hmm. you know?
I like music like that, actually.
I think we're starting to understand this now.
Yes. Not sure how we're going to replicate it.
I had an idea. We'll talk more about it after we get a topic, I
okay.
think.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I'm afraid.
Let's spin the salad
yeah,
spinner.
Yeah, let's get a topic. So now you have to sing DuckTales.
I'm going to admit, I don't remember how the DuckTales theme song goes at all, so I'm just going to do this. DuckTales! Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, DuckTales!
I hope you like that, Nubia. You made that happen. Oh, my God.
We can tweet at them.
Yes, we can tweet at them. We got a tweetable topic.
Tweetable topic. Tweetable. Trail Life USA.
Or commonly, Trail Life.
It's a faith-based scouting organization that provides youth mentorship and character development to more than 20,000 boys in the United States.
This organization was founded in 2013 in reaction to
Well, let's do it.
You know what the changes were, right?
I do. Keep going.
In a reaction to changes in the membership policy of the Boy Scouts of America to allow the participation of openly gay youth.
All charters of Trail Life USA must pledge to follow a statement of faith. The organization states that non-Christians and those who affirm homosexuality are not eligible to lead or charter in the group as these beliefs contradict their statement of faith. However, youths of all or no religious beliefs are allowed to join.
Just no queers.
Just no queers.
Ew.
Because you can't have a queer out in the woods. You don't know what's going to happen.
I do not like these people.
Well, we can do an anti-Trail Life USA song.
Yeah, I guess.
And
I
then
guess
tweet it
so.
At them.
Oh, no.
You wanted to be sued. Here we go. You're getting your wish, deep.
OnMyHonor.net was formed by John Stemberger to oppose the proposed... Moses opposes the proposed membership policy change in March 2013 and consisted of parents, scoutmasters, Eagle Scouts, and other scouting leaders. In May 2013, Boy Scouts of America voted to change its membership policy to allow youth of any sexual orientation. Following the vote, John Stemberger changed the mission of OnMyHonor.net to start a new alternative scouting program. Oh,
following the vote, the Faith-Based Boys, FBB, was founded. In May 2013, American Heritage Girls, AHG, joined the FBB. FBB official Thomas Dillingham indicated that the group would start accepting applications in August for youth memberships and group leaders. On Minor.net, Faith-Based Boys and other regional national groups, Trailhead USA and Frontier Service Corps, joined together to form the new group. A leadership meeting was held in Louisville, Kentucky on June 29th, 2013 to discuss forming a new group. So basically, Trail Life USA was formed out of all of these different little groups that all had the same mission.
If by mission you mean excluding people who identify as queer.
Exclusionary mission.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, look, technically... Technically, I support your right to your own opinion and
yes.
to forming an organization that adheres to your beliefs.
And to forming an alternative organization. So the Boy Scouts is still out there.
Yeah.
But if it's not for you, you can join Trail Life USA.
I would encourage people to engage with difference. And things that they don't understand or that scare them, rather than hidey-holing yourself away in a tent with other people who believe the exact same things that you believe. But that's cool.
Look, our political leanings are clear at this point. I don't think we need to sugarcoat it.
No, it just, like, rankles me because a good friend of mine had to complete his Eagle Project twice because in his interview, the first time, they asked him if he supported... gay scout leaders, and he said he didn't see anything wrong with it, and they failed him.
Well,
and he had to do it all over again.
I guess that technically couldn't happen now in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, that was before, it was way before 2013. So,
but clearly was a problem. The Boy Scouts addressed that problem, mm-hmm. and then this little sad fringe group of Trail Life USA broke off, to keep the hate alive.
Damn.
And we're going to write a song about him.
Great. All right.
So my musical idea.
Yeah, what's your musical idea?
Because it should feel raw. It should feel mm-hmm. unpolished. I think we should perform it completely live.
Okay.
And by live, I mean not like live broadcast.
But like no editing.
No editing. Uh-huh. Not like individual turns at the microphone, but all like fumble my way through the guitar. And we'll sing together, just like we did for, like, Horsey Teachers.
Okay.
And we can even, like you said, with your Bright Eyes example, have the sounds of us, like, setting it up and tearing down a little bit around it.
And I also wonder, something that I think some of these groups do, especially I've heard Regina Spektor do it, is they'll do a song that is, like, suddenly very out of genre and doesn't really have... much to do with what else is on the album. So like what I'm thinking of is like, what if this were like a campfire song?
Yeah.
And so it would just be like one short song on a whole album that's just like, wait, is this a camp song? It's like there's suddenly right. the whole band is just singing Kumbaya unaccompanied and then it moves on to the next song.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Okay.
So part of that breaking from the musical rules, like of breaking out of the style of what the rest of our album would be, but still using, you know, like unaccompanied voice or like voice and just guitar,
mm-hmm.
which is still along the folk lines.
Yeah, we could get like a shaker or something if we really wanted to.
You love shakers.
I do love shakers. I love shakers. I love tambourines. I love anything that I can hit and it makes fun.
You're in luck.
Yay! Yeah. Okay.
Well,
let's do this.
Let's get started.
And let's also do our Utahn.
Let's do our Utahn before we jump into this politically charged.
Yeah. Whatever. Not apologizing. Don't back down, people. Nope. Now is not the time for being timid. Our Utahn this week is...
That was it. It was a 1 cent Utahn.
Yeah.
That we wrote as a ringtone.
Our Utahn this week is for Jasmine Friedrich, who is at JRFBZ on Twitter.
Jafurbs.
And Jafurbs has requested a sea shanty.
Which is amazing.
Yes. Also, political, depending on what time of history you lived.
Sure.
Depending on how you feel about colonialism.
Right.
But in any case, we wrote, Jasmine requested the sea shanty. I asked her, do you want it to be like a funny sea shanty or like a dramatic sea shanty? And she chose dramatic because dramatic would end up being funnier. And I think she was on to something.
She was right.
She was totally right. The sea shanty that she requested is about being a spice merchant.
I don't know what this is going to be used for.
Me
I feel
either.
Like maybe we were commissioned to write something for a project of hers that we don't know anything about.
Yeah. But she was like, the title should be You Are a Spice Merchant. And I was like, all right, we'll go with that. So here is your epic sea shanty.
Super epic.
From your generous donation for your Utahn, Jasmine. Anything else to say about it?
Just thank you and enjoy.
Yeah. I guess we should say this. We went down like a rabbit hole on sea shanties. There's so much information about sea shanties. They're actually really cool. This would be, I believe, what is called a short pull or a short haul sea shanty. So it's like in each of the refrains. So they're generally structured as like a very short verse and then a refrain that everybody sings. So there's a soloist and then a chorus, soloist, chorus.
Right.
And they're used, they're work songs, and they're used to keep everyone on the ship in time when they have to do some big collective action, like hoisting
a sail.
Yeah, exactly. Or like drawing up the anchor. And so long haul versus short haul versus like 18 different kinds of sea shanties is like how many times you're like pulling on a rope or doing an action per refrain.
The haul.
The haul, yes. So I believe this one is two pulls per refrain. And it's usually in the stressed syllable is when you're pulling.
Well.
Yeah.
Happy pulling.
And they are traditionally a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
But Jasmine gave us a very nice donation.
She did.
So we went a little bit cinematic with it.
Right.
We
wanted to put you in the time and place of being a spice merchant on the eastern seas.
Yes, yes, yes. So please enjoy You Are a Spice Merchant for Jasmine.
Far from my homeland, farther by the day,
for spices we sail away.
For pepper and nutmeg from Old Mandalay,
our ship and our life, we're sailing away.
The smoke of the whalers fades into the sky,
for spices we sail away.
But we keep on going as they pass us by,
our ship and our life, we're sailing away.
A merchant of spices is never at rest,
for spices we sail away.
Our king and our lord have ordered this test,
our ship and our life, we're sailing away. We're leaving at dawn with the wind at our back, to see what fortune may fall. Fill up your rations and take up your pack, your heart has answered the call. For spices we sail away, our ship and our life, we're sailing away. Wake up your daughters and clasp at your wives, tell your sons a farewell. You may not see them the rest of your lives unless you see them in hell. Our life, we're sailing away.
Yar.
Okay, I kept having to tell Scott that they aren't pirates.
They are, though.
But they're not.
But
they're
just sailors. But every sailor was a pirate.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like, No, but like it wasn't though. Like objectively, it wasn't true.
Yeah, but shanties don't sound as good if you don't throw a yar in there.
There was a yar. I hope you all, if you did not catch the yar, go back and listen and find the yar where Scott's character slipped and fell off the ship.
Just one guy that's like pulled too hard and slipped and fell off the side with a polite yar.
Yar.
I should have put a splash sound effect after it.
So that was the sea shanty for Jasmine.
You are a spice merchant.
You are a spice merchant. We are no longer taking donations for U-tons, but starting next week, you will start to see the fruits of that fundraiser, right, where we'll have my new microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about it. Yes. It's going to up our podcasting game substantially.
Indeed. So thank you again to everyone who donated.
So back to our song at hand.
Yes, yes, yes. So I was thinking, I figured out exactly what bothers me about Trail Life.
Okay,
what is it? And like beyond what we've already been talking about, because it's not that they are a faith-based organization, because that inherently is not bad.
Right.
And you absolutely should have the right to start an organization where everyone who shares your beliefs are, you know, in common, mm-hmm, are in the organization, and that's what you want. But what bothers me is that the Boy Scouts are not a faith-based organization anyway.
Right.
So then they were like, well, gay people are okay. And that's when Trail Life was like, oh, wait a minute, but we want to be faith-based. So it made it all about,
right,
being gay. And so what they're organized against is not a non-faith-based organization. Mm. It's organized against being gay. Do you see what
I mean?
That's
a good way to put it. Yeah.
So like if Trail Life at some point in the past had been like, you know what, we want a more faith-based organization that's like Boy Scouts.
Right.
Cool. Awesome. But then suddenly they were like, oh, but like queers though?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
So, and I think that's really reductive, because I don't think positioning your religion against homosexuality is actually representative of what most people believe. But what you're doing is you're just making yourself look horrifically prejudiced.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what really bothers me. Not that it's a faith-based organization, that it's only organized to like clap back at gay people.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever gave that impression. I don't think we were giving that impression.
Good.
That's why we were against it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I just had to articulate that, like, that one thing that triggered it is so gross.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did that inspire your lyric ideas?
Yes, it did. It definitely did. And so we talked about doing it as, like, a campfire song.
Yeah, like a campfire round or something, mm-hmm, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were thinking, we were talking a little bit off air, like you were thinking that the mood would be maybe like a little bit darker.
Right. Like a sort of a cautionary tale,
yeah,
campfire song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the anti-folk lyrical content usually values humor over sorrow. Mm-hmm. So we need to sort of play against the sorrowful sound of the campfire song with some kind of dark or wry humor.
Yes.
Putting down this organization.
Yes. So I definitely have ideas about how to do that.
Cool. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
A little birdie told me you have lyrics.
I do have lyrics.
Tell me.
So I feel like a lot of the time, homophobia is actually based in a kind of internalized misogyny.
Okay.
In that, stereotypically speaking, gay men are thought to be feminine, mm-hmm, and womanly, mm-hmm, and so since women are the lesser sex and inferior to men, then men who are like women are therefore also inferior. And
yeah,
and a lot of that comes through Judeo-Christian tradition. Women are the sinful ones; they cause the downfall of man. Women are temptresses, Jezebels. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm going with this.
Okay.
So, like, what about a campfire song that was just singing about that, but they didn't really realize what they were saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the verse is, Brothers here around the fire, soldiers of God are we. We stand as steadfast paragons of male fragility. To thwart the rise of girly men who threaten all we are, reject the shameful choice of gays who don't like sports or cars. How to reconcile their lives with our identity. To entertain acceptance defies patriarchy. And then the chorus is, the church says women are bad, which means men who act like women are bad. We've internalized women are bad, so men who love men are bad. Thank God we're not women who are bad or men who act like women. That's bad.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's right. So I guess the verses you want to do is around.
Yes.
Okay.
Verses will be around and the chorus will be sung together.
Okay.
Yep. And we'll, like we said before, record it in one shot.
We'll try.
With me playing guitar and Shannon playing shaker, maybe?
Maybe.
And singing along. And we'll record a little bit of pre and post song.
Yeah.
To make that authentic anti-folk experience.
Yeah.
Do you have a title for this song?
I think it's either going to be Male Fragility or Women Are Bad.
I like Male Fragility.
Okay.
Let's go with that. Male Fragility, an anti-folk song.
One of my favorite topics.
By Shannon and Scott.
The shaker is really hard.
Yeah. You can do it. Guitar's really hard, too.
You don't care.
Suck it up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, one, two.
Brothers here around the fire, soldiers of God are we. Stand as steadfast paragons of male fragility. To thwart the rise of girly men who threaten all we are. Reject the shameful choice of gays who don't like sports or cars. Oh, how to reconcile their lives with our identity. To entertain acceptance defies
patriarchy.
And the church says women are bad, which means men who act like women are bad. We've internalized women are bad. By extension, men who love men are bad. Thank God we're not women who are bad, or men who act like women. That's bad.
Yeah. Smells like s'mores.
Oh, I want a s'more.
Mm.
Male fragility s'more. Makes me hungry for s'mores.
I like it.
I do too. By far our most politically charged episode.
But I think it fits the genre pretty much to a T.
I think so too. Yeah.
That's all you have to say?
I don't know. I mean, on the eve of the inauguration,
yeah,
it is appropriate that we should write a like rather satirical song about intolerance, exclusion, bigotry, and just bigotry.
You know, your basic bigotry.
Bigotry 101.
Your basic tolerance.
Just like, guys, chill out, everybody.
Chill out, guys. Just
love
chill
one
out.
Another. And
just like talk with
other.
People, meet new people.
Yeah, don't
do
try
something
to
different.
Keep people in their boxes and shut them out and hide behind institutions to justify your fear and hatred.
Right.
Nobody throughout history thought to themselves, oh, I'm a bigot or I'm a racist. That didn't happen.
Right.
But looking backwards,
mm-hmm.
we call people racists and bigots and prejudiced. Be on the right side of history, people. Support minorities. Support people who are oppressed or marginalized. And don't be afraid. You don't know it, but you're afraid.
Wow. One thing that I'm trying to do this year that maybe you should try to do too, if you are feeling like you don't know how you can help, instead of giving opening night gifts for shows that I worked on just now, I made a donation to the Trevor Project.
That's
instead
awesome.
In the name of those shows.
That's really awesome.
And people that worked on those shows with me were really happy that I did that and did not care at all that they did not get a physical gift or a card from me when I told them in lieu of gifts, made a donation.
No, so that's super awesome.
Things like that, I think, are what we all need to do in 2017.
And you guys did that for your wedding as well. Mm-hmm. The favors for everybody you guys
donated to the Bladder Cancer Advocacy Network.
Yes, that's awesome. I think we'll probably do a similar thing when we get married in October. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it replaces gifts or in addition to gifts or also giving people the option to just donate to something mm-hmm. instead of giving us a wedding present.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, if you can, do.
Yes. Well, thanks for tuning in to this fun, fanciful edutainment podcast.
Social Justice Warrior podcast.
We'll be back next week with more goof-em-ups.
Yep, definitely some goof-em-ups. More Utahns.
Yes.
More random Wikipedia nonsense.
Fun surprises to come.
Yes.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're fighting for your rights.
Yes.
One, two, three, four.
Patriarchy. And the church says women are bad.
Fuck.
Wake up your daughters and clasp tight your wives. Tell your sons a farewell. You may not see them the rest of your lives unless you see them in hell. Oops.